Well, hello, everyone, and Merry Christmas to you all. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I hope you're enjoying this wonderful holiday with friends and family and celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, the very Son of God left the glory of heaven to become a child and ultimately pay the penalty for our sins through his perfect sacrifice. You'll hear more about Christ's purpose while he was here on earth today. And yesterday, we took that occasion to air the first part of a program, a message actually, that was given on Christmas Day by Dr. Adrian Rogers. He was the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church, and many of his sermons have been heard ever since, even posthumously on his program, Love Worth Finding. I listen to him still today. It's amazing how relevant his messages are. And what we heard last time was the first half of a message called Stars and Scars of Christmas. It's a Christmas message, and if you heard it yesterday, you are excited as we are about hearing the balance of this program. You might even find out what he means by the title, Stars and Scars of Christmas. Dr. Rogers was on my board of directors when I was at Focus on the Family a number of years ago, and we loved him. I said yesterday, and I repeated today, that he was almost a brother to me, and I miss him still today. His wife Joyce is our friend to this day, and we love her and pray for her and pray for her family to this time. Now, we're going to hear the second half of that message today, as I indicated, and I hope you will be blessed by it. This is Dr. Adrian Rogers speaking on a Christmas day at Bellevue Baptist Church on the subject, Stars and Scars of Christmas.
Now, here's a big question. Why? Why would God Almighty, who could do anything, whatever he wants, whenever he wants, why would he choose to suffer? Second point. Not only do the scars of Jesus tell us that as a man he suffered, but the scars of Jesus tell us that as a man, Jesus sympathizes. Put down now Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. The him is Jesus. The brethren, that's us. He's made like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, underscore that, he himself hath suffered being tempted, that means being tested, he is able to succor, S-U-C-C-O-R, which means to help them that are tempted. Jesus said, when you suffer, I suffer. And not only do I suffer, but because I suffer, I understand. Dr. Paul Brand was a missionary, a great surgeon, who spent a lot of time ministering to lepers in leper colonies. And Dr. Brand talked about the horrible sin of leprosy. And he said one of the debilitating sins of leprosy is that it removes the ability of the human body to feel pain. And then here's what Dr. Paul Brand said, and I copied it down for you. Listen to what this great doctor said. He said, if I had the power to eliminate pain, I would not exercise that right. Pain's value is too great. Notice, pain's value. Rather, I would lend all of my energies in doing all that I can to help when the pain turns to suffering. I want to tell you something. Our Lord suffered and our Lord sympathizes, and the pain that he allows us to have is really proof of his love. After Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, cursed is the ground. Now listen to this. For your sake. He didn't say for your punishment, but for your welfare. For your sake, thorns and thistles would it bring forth to you. God put a curse on the environment in which we live. Because the worst thing could happen to us would be for us to have the sickness, the infection of sin, and to feel no pain. There is the protecting purpose of pain. Thank God for pain. It tells us something is wrong. Pain has a unifying purpose. It is pain that draws us together. Your whole body comes to the aid of a suffering member. Do you know what unifies a church? Suffering. Do you know what brings people together? Suffering. The Bible says when one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Dr. Brand said, I can tell the health of a human body by its reaction to pain. If it doesn't react to pain, there is something wrong. You can tell the health of a church by its reaction to pain. How much does a church care for the homeless, the sick, those with broken hearts and broken hopes and broken homes? A church is unified by pain. Pain has a protecting purpose. Pain has a unifying purpose. And pain has a correcting purpose. God allows pain to protect us. And if it weren't for the pain, we would never know that we're being hurt. You put your hand on a hot stove and there's a message that goes immediately to your brain and says, it's hot down here. And the brain says, well, move. And it moves just like that. Now, you don't realize you're doing all that thinking, but you're doing that because that pain says that you need to protect yourself. Pain comes in all kinds of forms. There's physical pain. There is emotional pain. There is spiritual pain. And Americans want to kill pain at any cost. That's the reason we have so many sedatives. That's the reason kids get on drugs, to kill the pain. And I want to tell you, when kids get on drugs, they really don't care what their parents think. They are in another world. Some turn to alcohol. Why do we do this? Why do people have an affair? Why do they commit adultery? Many times, trying to kill the pain of insecurity and loneliness. The problem is that many people take a sedative when they need a savior. The pain is to tell us that something is wrong. Now, Jesus gives us peace and joy, not primarily to remove the pain, that'll be done at the rapture, but to help us to endure the pain. Now, when we see scars in the hands of Bethlehem's babe, they are a testimony to his humanity, a God with scars. They tell us as God, he suffered. As man, he suffered. As God, he sympathizes. As man, he sympathizes. He knows how we feel. He understands. And Jesus will hear the cries of a blind beggar before he hears the cries of a proud Pharisee. Now, here's the third thing. Not only do the scars of Jesus tell us that as a man, Jesus suffered, and not only do they tell us that as a man, Jesus sympathizes, but the scars of Jesus tell us as a man, Jesus saves. That is so important that you understand this. Why was he nailed to that hellish cross? Why did he step out of glory? Why did he allow himself to be pierced? Why were those nails put into his quivering hands and to those precious feet? Why? Well, the Bible says without shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Now, I want to remind you something, friend. Jesus did not have to suffer. He could have refused the cross. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Jesus was the only man who ever chose to die. You say, what about a suicide? He doesn't choose to die. He only chooses the time of his death. He's going to die anyway. A new statistic out on death, 1 out of 1 people die. Jesus was the only one who had no sin in himself. He could have refused death. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. It was not those nails that held him to the cross. It was love. He did not have to suffer, but he did suffer. May I ask you a question? Those of you who have children, and those children suffer, those children are in trouble. Those children are in pain. Would you rather not know about it, or would you rather know about it so you can move in and do something about it? Suppose you and your wife are celebrating an anniversary. You're taking that once-in-a-lifetime vacation, and you're in a hotel in Hawaii, and you have a child here left at home, and that child is in an automobile accident. Question. Would you want your vacation interrupted to know your child was in an automobile accident? I mean, after all, if nobody told you, you didn't know. Wouldn't you just rather be over there in paradise not knowing that your child was suffering? Because when you know your child is suffering, then what does that do to the vacation? Immediately you pack, you leave everything, and you go back home. Which of you would say, well, I had rather not know. I'd just rather live in my oblivious happiness. No. If you love somebody, when they hurt, you hurt. And when you can do something about it, if you can, you want to. And if you can't do anything about it, you still want to be there to hurt with them and suffer with them. The question, I say, is not why does man suffer? Why did God suffer? I'll tell you why God suffered. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Isaiah 53, verse 3, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He loves us. There was a wayward boy who had so disgraced his parents, and they had given him chance after chance after chance, and he had failed, embarrassed them, and hurt them, and wounded them, and refused them, and rebelled against them. One man, this was his son, was talking to another man. And the other man gave this suffering father this advice. He said, I'll tell you what I would do. If that were my son, here's what I would do. And this man giving advice to the brokenhearted father was telling him how he should just cast this son off and be done with him and seal him off. And he said, if that's my son, that's what I would do. And this father said, yes. And if he were your son, that's what I would do. But he's not your son. He's my son. And I can't do that. He is my son. And friend, God loves us. There's no one here that God does not love. There's no one that God does not want to save. And you see, he's God in human flesh. And the question is, why does God suffer? We might say that he does suffer, that he might be a sympathizing Savior, but he suffers that he might be a Savior who sympathizes, that he saves. Phil Donahue, discussing Christianity, said this. He could not understand the cross. And here's what he said, and I quote, how could an all-knowing, all-loving God allow his son to be murdered on a cross in order to redeem my sins? If God the Father is so all-loving, why didn't he come down and go to Calvary? And the answer is, of course he did. That's exactly what he did. This was God in human flesh. Put this scripture down, 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ. Why did God become a man? Our dominion was lost by man. It must be legally regained by man. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You say, well, I didn't vote for Adam. I don't think I ought to be held responsible for his sin. You ought to be so grateful, dear friend, that God, who not only counts the human race guilty in Adam, also counts the human race by faith justified in Christ. I'm so grateful that I have in Jesus a redemption, that Jesus did for me what I could never do for myself. And I had rather be a saved sinner than an innocent angel. In Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen to this. Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. The scars tell me that Jesus saves, that Jesus saves. When my first son was born, Steve, my pastor said to me, Adrian, you will understand something different now about the love of God. Before you have a child of your own, you think of the great love the Savior had when He died for us. But when you have a child of your own, you think of the love of the Father who gave His Son. That is so true. That is so true. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God was in Christ. He was God, but He was man. As God, He was sinless, but as a man, He suffered. Because there needed to be a sinless substitute. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Think not only of the stars, but the scars of Christmas. Listen, Jesus came to earth that we might go to heaven. Jesus was born of a virgin that we might be born again. Jesus became the Son of Man that we might become the sons and the daughters of God. Jesus died that we might live. The scars tell us that as a man, Jesus suffered. The scars tell us that as a man, Jesus sympathizes. The scars tell us that as a man, Jesus saves. And hallelujah, He does. Now let me come to the conclusion of this message. And I want to lay several things upon your heart. Listen carefully now. Jesus had some scars. And if you follow Jesus, so will you. God had only one son without sin, but He didn't have any son without suffering. Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. If you think you're going to get out of this world unscarred, you're not going to do it. There's no fine print in the contract. And there is the suffering that comes with serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, I bear in my body the scars of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul could say that literally because the lash had been laid upon his back. But he's using the word here, stigmata. I bear the nail prints in my body of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I tell you, friend, listen carefully now. Those of you who are going to a sedative rather than the Savior, your scars may be your greatest ministry. What was it that caused Thomas to believe? Thomas said, except I see the scars, I'll not believe. Jesus said, all right, Thomas, put your finger here. Put your finger here. Put your hand there. Do you know what a scar is? A scar is a wound that has healed. And when Thomas saw the scars, Thomas saw Him crucified. But now Thomas sees He is raised, He is victorious, He is overcome. And Thomas believed. Did you know that there are people who are going to believe in Jesus when they see your scars? Did you know that? When you can testify that Jesus has healed me. Here are my wounds, red and raw and bloody. But Jesus has healed me. I've seen it happen so many times. As you know, Joyce and I have a little boy in heaven. When our son died, to us it was like a crucifixion. And deep and red was the wound. But we carried it to Jesus. And Jesus healed it. The first scripture that I saw after our son died, I never even noticed it in the Bible before. Blessed be God, the God of all comfort, the Father of all mercies, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I've seen Joyce put arms around mothers who've lost little ones and give comfort. You know how she could do it? With her scars. With her scars. With her wound that has been healed. Are you hurting today? Is there a pain? Is there a problem? Is there a heartache? Listen to me. Bring your wounds to Jesus. He understands. He cares. Bring your wounds to Jesus and use your scars for Jesus. Use your scars for Jesus. That may be your greatest testimony. Not that you've sailed through life without feeling any pain. Not that God has protected you as His little darling, but that God has been with you, and we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. I want you now, in your mind, to imagine our risen Savior. I want you to see Him on the throne of His glory. And I want you to see in His hands the print of the nails, because He bears them for all eternity. And I want you to see those nail-scarred hands reaching to you right now. And if you've never done it, would you not like to put your hand in that hand and say, "Save me, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are the God-man. Thank you that as a man you suffered. As a man you sympathize. And as a man you save. Save me, Jesus." Pray it and mean it. I want to guide you in a prayer, and in this prayer you can ask Christ to save you. And I promise you on the authority of the Word of God that He will save you and He will keep you. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you that as a man you died on the cross for me. Though God of very God, you did not have to suffer, and yet you did. You chose to suffer because you love me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord Jesus, I open my heart, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and Savior. Save me, Jesus. Pray it and mean it. Did you ask Him? Then pray this way. Thank you for doing it. And Lord, if you just give me the strength, I'll make it public. I'll not be ashamed of you because you died for me. In your holy name, amen.
Well, if you prayed that prayer alongside Pastor Adrian Rogers, then know that the angels of heaven are rejoicing with you, and we would love to share in that celebration. Please reach out to us at drjamesdobson.org and know that you prayed to make that decision to follow Christ. Simply fill out our contact form to send the message when you go to drjamesdobson.org. And if you'd like to learn more about the ministry of Pastor Adrian Rogers, Love Worth Finding, go to drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Dr. Rogers has been with the Lord for many years now, but his legacy lives on in the Love Worth Finding ministry, and it's our privilege to have shared with you over the past couple of days a very special message that he delivered some time ago talking about the stars and scars of Christmas. Well, today is Christmas Day. It's the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us hope, who gives our lives meaning. And it's our prayer, from our family to yours, that you are experiencing, celebrating the joy of the Lord. If for some reason today is that first day in that walk, you've picked an excellent day to have a spiritual birthday, and we rejoice along with you. But if you've been walking with the Lord for many years, and perhaps that walk has seemed a little more tired or dusty or a little more bumpy than usual, let this be the year that you allow God to re-encourage you, to reignite your faith, and to walk with Him in the newness of life that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for you on the cross, burying your sin once and for all, raising you to newness of life, and celebrating our risen King who we wait for in joyous anticipation of His return. From our family to yours, Merry Christmas. God bless you, and thank you for listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Here's
Here's today's Dr. Dobson Minute with Dr. James Dobson.
It was on December 23rd, 1818, in the small Austrian village of Oberndorf, that Father Joseph Moore had begun preparing the music for the Christmas Eve service at his local church. He visualized shepherds in a field with stars lighting up the sky around them. He imagined a small stable outside of Bethlehem and the cries of a newborn filling the night air. All the while, the words flowed from his pen. Early the next morning, he brought the poem to his organist, Franz Gruber, and asked him to put a tune to it. A few hours later, the task was accomplished. And so it was on Christmas Eve, 1818, that Father Moore sang tenor and Franz Gruber sang bass as the tiny town of Oberndorf heard for the first time a simple new song. They called it Stille Nacht. You and I know it as Silent Night.
For more information, visit drdobsonminute.org.